Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today we hear the gospel reading of the feeding of the multitudes of the 5,000 men. And the chapter that this comes from, the chapter 9 of the Gospel of St. Luke. And the gospel starts even before this passage begins. It starts with when Christ called the 12 disciples, or he called his disciples, and they went and they preached and they cast out demons and they cured diseases and they also preached the kingdom of heaven. And we find that this is the approach that we see in everything when we have infirmities, where in order for us to be healed, we first have to cast out the illness, we have to cast out the virus, the bacteria, whatever it is, we must cast it out. And then we put an ointment, and we put something that allows for the healing of that wound. And so the same thing with the spiritual life is that we have illnesses as well. We have struggles. And for us to be healed, for us to think about the kingdom of heaven, we have to be cast away. What has to be cast away from us are these struggles, or our desires for these struggles, these desires for our sins. And when we have cast them out, then when the preaching of the kingdom of heaven comes to our ears, then it is something that is very joyful for us. It's something that we begin to hope for. And so we find this a lot in the gospel today, this casting out or having to be relieved of something in order to receive the word of Christ, which is the hope of salvation. And it started when the disciples had to, when they went on their journey to go and preach, and they, Christ told them, don't take anything with you. Don't take extra clothing. Don't take food. Don't take anything. Just go. And this was the proof for the people that these men who are coming to preach, that they themselves have abandoned everything. Everything has been cast out of their hearts. All of the evil, all of the desire or the dependency on the things of the world, and they trust solely on the power and the authority that Jesus Christ gave them in order to cast out the demons and also to preach the kingdom of the heaven to the people. And if we look to what this is that Christ wanted us not to cling to or to be relieved from, is anxiety. Is anxiety that we have towards the things of the world, the trust that we have in the things of the world. So I want to reflect on some of the different types of anxieties that sometimes we cling to, and how even in the gospel reading of the feeding of the multitude, that we find that Christ is asking us or desires that we relieve ourselves from these anxieties and we put our trust in Him. And the first anxiety that maybe sometimes we are tempted with is the anxiety of restriction. Although Christ says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light, we somehow still feel a restriction. That I can live supposedly an easier life without the restrictions that come with a relationship with Christ and a relationship with the saints. And today in the gospel, the way it started, we find that Christ took the disciples to a deserted place. And the disciples, this was a time for them to relax, right? This was, they just came from such a tiring journey, and this was their time to relax and their time to spend with Christ. And so they come back and they're with their master and they seek rest. And so then they find that there's this restriction. I can't rest because now my master is saying, come, we have to feed this multitude. What do you mean send them out? No, you need to feed them. And so not just to figure out how to feed them, but to also do the work of distributing the food to the people. And we're talking about thousands of people. So if we're speaking about whether it's 5,000 individuals or 5,000 men and their families, meaning three times at least that amount, imagine that they did not get any rest that day. So many times we feel, even in our Christian life, that we have a restricting life. If we look at the feeding of the multitude, the feeding occurred in a deserted place. And this place is abandoned. This is the place that nobody wants to go to. Or that if someone goes, that they expect very little out of that place. But they went, the people, the multitude, and even the disciples, they went and they followed Christ to this deserted place. And the point I want to make here is that sometimes even when we expect that the life with Christ is a restrictive life, but if you look at the deserted place, it also is a restricted place. There's no place for food. There's no place for lodging. It's a place that no one desires or seeks. So in our society today, right, it would be the place that nobody is at. It would be the place that society isn't. And yet they go and they're filled. Their tummies are filled, but also their spirits are filled. And it was in the place that they would have least expected to be filled. Just as we sometimes are tempted that where the majority are, then that's where I should be. But really, it's that I belong in the deserted place. I belong in the place that where Christ wants me to be, and that is with Him. And in that, even though the perception is that it's a place of restriction, it's a place that I feel almost bound, it's the exact opposite. It's that when I go, I find that actually this place nourishes me more than where the majority of the people are. So today, Christ, He reveals to us that when I trust in Him and I go to the place that He desires for me to be, and I do what He desires for me to do, that we have to put a trust above perception. We have to put a trust above what the norm is. That for this people, it wasn't normal to go to the deserted place, but they found themselves to be filled. And as we read in the gospel, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So for them to know the truth, they had to put their trust in the Lord and to follow Him. And that is what they sought to do, the people and the disciples. The other anxiety that sometimes we experience is the anxiety of time. We know that we hate to wait for things, and Amazon made it worse for us. And if our time in this world, a world filled with sorrow and confusion and stress, then we say, God, take me now, right? If this life is so difficult, it's easier to just take me. Or maybe I want to live, and yet I have many struggles in my life, and I keep asking and petitioning for God to remove from me all of these problems, all of the stresses that I have, all of the difficulties, all of the sorrows, all of the confusion. Remove them from me now, because I've been asking you. And in today's gospel, it seemed to have started off on a good note. They were telling Christ about everything that happened, and then they went and fed the multitudes. So now, what did the disciples feel, or what were they tempted to feel? That they were just casting out demons. They were baptizing, they were preaching the kingdom of heaven, and now you want us to serve food? And so maybe there's this thought of, no, but the casting out of demons was much greater thing for us to be doing. And so it wasn't a short time, as we remember, as we said, it wasn't a short time that they were with the multitude, because again, thousands of people. And not just that, but Christ said, okay, now put them in groups of 50. I mean, you know, I see how stressful it is just to call maybe 75 people for the adult meeting. Imagine what it's like to organize 10, 15,000 people in groups of 50. Right? It's like, no, I want to be in that group. No, I, right? So imagine the time and the stress and the annoying feeling that maybe they had as they're trying to organize the people according to what Christ was asking them. So Jesus had one idea for them. But for the disciples, they had a different idea. And maybe in their mind they felt, is this like a step back? Like, what's happening? But Christ was showing them that his timing is very specific. His timing is very specific. It wasn't that, again, that the disciples were feeding through a buffet line, but that they were all grouped. Each disciple responsible for a specific group. Meaning that God's timing is specific, that each person is responsible for something in the eyes of God. And he doesn't want anyone else to do it but you. He doesn't want anyone else to do it but you. Because in the eyes of Christ, casting out demons or feeding the people or preaching, they're all works of healing. They're all works of salvation. But in this moment, Christ is saying, don't look to what seems greater than the other thing, because one thing is cooler than the other, or one is more mysterious than the other. Because there's a mystery in everything that we do. There's a mystery behind every person that we meet. There's a mystery behind every place we go to, who we encounter when we are there. So what we may perceive as a step back, or it's taking too much time. God's work isn't measured by the rubrics of humanity. It isn't measured by how we look and measure our spiritual life. But it is a plan that God has that is much greater than what we can understand. And we know that we will see great things. And the sign of the 12 baskets that were remaining is a sign of abundance. That when you abandon the measures of the world and you perceive this to be a step back, or you perceive this to be something taking too long, or you perceive something is too much for me to bear, that we will see that God will reveal something much greater. And he did with the 12 baskets, because he said, you were worried about just feeding the people, but look, there's 12 baskets still left over. That what God blesses, he blesses with abundance. The last anxiety that I want to reflect on is the anxiety of comparison. And we saw in today's gospel, again, where the disciples were in a private place and the multitude went and sought to take Christ or to spend time with him. And of course, the disciples were like, no, send them away. And it was as if they didn't already receive numerous blessings. And it's an attractive characteristic that they were jealous of others' time with Christ, right? I want to spend time with him. You know, this is my chance. But sometimes when we do this in the sense of, okay, but send them away, it almost puts me in a place of limiting God, that almost as if Jesus Christ isn't capable of being with all of us, even when he's not standing in front of me, that I'm not in his physical presence, that Christ can't be with all the people. And of course, the multitude felt the same way. So the disciples felt the same way about the people, and the people felt the same way about the disciples, of no, we want time with him. But Christ made it very clear to all humanity that he is with everyone. And he made that clear to the disciples when he commissioned them to go and preach. And then they found that they have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to cast out demons. So they were not in the presence of Christ, yet they had the power and the love and the work of Christ with them, even not when they're not in his presence, his physical presence. And Jesus Christ wanted to send the same message also to the people, because he says, because when they distributed the food, who was the one that distributed? It was the disciples. So the people, they know that Christ is there, but they don't see Christ bringing the food. But they know that they're being filled, and they know that they're being filled not by the power of the disciples. They know that there was only 5 loaves and 2 fish. But they know that the one that gave the authority and the power to multiply the bread and the fish, they know that the power is from Jesus Christ, but they don't see him. They're interacting with the disciples who's bringing them the food. To remind the people, if you don't see me, I'm still with you. Every single one, every single person was fed. Not just the disciples, not just the greatest among the people. Every single individual was given a portion. And who decided on giving that portion? Jesus Christ. Which means that he accounted for every single person plus some. So, in this anxiety of comparison, so to speak, that we're tempted to feel that God isn't focused on me. Maybe God doesn't see me. Maybe he sees there's billions of people in this world. Maybe he's focused on others right now. But God isn't limited. And we can't limit God, because he is present with us, every single one of us, in every moment. Even in the story of the paralytic for 38 years, the man was down, and he couldn't get into the pool first. And when Christ asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" I would have said, "Yeah." Right? I think we all would have said, "Yeah, make me well." But he said, "Nobody has been willing to put me in the pool first." And so he looks to the ones that were healed and says, God worked with them. God works with them. Or the angel worked with them. And so although Christ again asked him if he wanted to be made well, he didn't respond with a yes or no. He simply responded saying, no one is able to put me in the pool. So that is why Christ, that's why this wasn't a miracle in which the man was presented to Christ, but Christ went to him. And it says in the gospel that he knew, obviously, he knew that he has been in this position for 38 years and that he has been suffering. But he's trying to show him, I never left you. I never forgot about you. Because after the 38 years, it was him that was to help save others by glorifying Christ. And on a very difficult day too, the day in which it was done on the Sabbath, right? A very controversial day. But he was part of that message. He was part of that conversion of the people who found the love of Christ, who taught us what the Sabbath is, to give rest to all others, to give rest to all men. So we are the same. We are the same in which Christ is with every single person at every moment. And every day I wake up in the morning and Christ is saying, do you want to be made well? And every morning I should say, but I have the stress, or I want to say, I have the stress and I have these problems. Just say, make me well. Make me well so that this day is a new day, because the first hour of the Agbeya is always about resurrection. Right? It's not about the chronological order. It's about what is the first thing for us to think about in the morning, which is the resurrection. That I rise, I get up, and I am made well this day. And what comes to me this day, God will guide me through it. In Romans, St. Paul says, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this comparison, as if God favors others, we have to remember that Christ favors all of us. He loves all of us, and he is with all of us at all times, and he is seeking for us to be made well and seeking for us to also ask him to make us well. One last passage that I want to conclude with. We read about how we shouldn't be anxious about anything in the world, because he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, right? What you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you should put on. Because if the birds and the lilies and everything, if everything is taken care of, then if they are those material things or those animals, what more value are you? What more value are we? And he says, for the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. This means that against our will, we will face difficulties. Some according to our will, but many against our will, we suffer and we face difficulties. Against our own will, we will be tempted. Against our will, the people that we love will suffer. But let what belongs to the day stay with that day. And what is according to your will, let the day be sufficient in Christ by doing good. And what this means is that by doing good is that I rise up in the morning every day and I seek to be made well and I seek to do good. Because every day I'm looking to the heavens. I am living the life of healing that we said in the beginning, which is to cast out all the evil things so that when I hear about the words of the kingdom of heaven or the promise of the kingdom of heaven, that all my hope is in that. To him be the glory both now and ever and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media.